Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, we're going to read verses 27 through 30, and we'll read this passage responsively. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for the privilege of having church. Now, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would help us today. Lord, I don't know that I've ever preached a good sermon. Never been on my list of guests wanting to do. I've wanted to help your people. Lord, I would like to help your people today in a very special way. Lord, each and every person here has heartaches, burdens, and cares of the world that they need to take care of and that get heavy. And I pray that you'd help us today. Help us to teach them what you have taught through your word so that they could do it your way. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Here in Matthew chapter 11 is a very, and I'll use the word famous, popular, well-known passage, however you would like to term it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And we go to that passage often in difficult days and say, whew, now I know how to bear this, but I think we have probably mislearned what God said. A wise man once said, life is a veil of tears. It is my privilege to live with people who hurt, have burdens, and have heartache. For over a quarter of a century, I've lived in the emergency rooms of life. And I get to help people carry their load. Oh, my soul, 27, 28 years ago, I decided that Galatians 6:2 would be my life's verse. Not that I fulfilled it, but that I seek to fulfill. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. My life is filled with difficult news. Let me show you what I mean, and in no wise will I cast a light on anybody here that would be negative or shadowy, but I just wrote a list out of just some of the tougher news that I've gotten in the last 2 weeks. Just in the last two and a half weeks, let me show you what I mean. I got a phone call, a lady who we've worked with some through the years, has a brain tumor, facing surgery. A man left his family, trying to help them restore their family. A lady faced a custody battle with her children and dealing with lawyers and judges and things and helping with that situation. I know of a young adult who faces a possible reoccurrence of a childhood disease that they once had. Brother Ron McFarlane had neck surgery this week. I got a text about 5:15 the other morning, and a lady that I used to work with and some of us worked with back in Indiana, Darlene Belk, her husband had a heart attack and a pulmonary embolism and died just that quick. Went from sitting there talking to one another to, ooh, I'm not feeling well, and the next thing, he was gone. Been helping a family whose adult daughter was murdered here not long ago. I have talked this week to a pastor and his wife who's the lady has some serious health issues. We just, in the last week or so, had to move my grandma to the nursing floor of the nursing home, and she's no longer able to do what she has done for 96 years. And mom and dad had to make a trip back to Ohio, and because they've moved her, we've had to kind of go through and, you know, those tough decisions of she can't have everything that she had in her own room, so it's almost like dividing her things up after she's already gone to heaven before she goes to heaven, and having to make those decisions. I have had to help some families recently with two different families with some major financial issues. Brother Brinklow and his heart attack, and Mrs. Brinklow trying to beat him into submission to stay down. I talked to a preacher friend of mine in a distant state who was about ready just to give it up and quit. Tried to keep him encouraged long enough to keep going. Our dear brother Lowther and his health and the crises that we've had to meet there. I've talked to two different assistant pastors in distant states who have had to leave a church, one for a right reason, the other, honestly, not for such a good reason. That's all in addition to my regular work. My issues. And it's not anything different than anybody else goes through, but in the last 2 weeks, we've lost a washer and a dryer. Y'all have ever had that problem happen, you know? You get the phone call, the dryer is dead. Okay, well, we got to go get a dryer. Then went and got a dryer. I thought, great, we're done. We got back from the wedding, and my wife called me on that Monday. The water won't go out of the washing machine, and it's leaking on the floor. Well, it had leaked out all over the motor and shot everything. It was gone. I mean, gone. Say, what do you do? Get the water out, get the clothes out, hang them up, and go get a washer. You say, was you ready for that? Are you? Little things like that. And I love what I do. I was with one of our men out soul winning yesterday and making some visits. And he said, preacher, I don't know how you get it all done. How do you handle it all? I'm probably asked that question more in my life. How do you do it? How do you handle all this tough news? I know a little something about how to carry a burden. I really do. I know a little bit about how to help people as they carry a burden. By the way, you say, well, I got a problem, but I don't want to come see a preacher. Do me a favor, come see me. I have chosen to live my life carrying people's burdens, just so you know. I'm happiest when I have burdens. Not that my heart is burdened, but that I get to help somebody carry a burden. That makes me happy. God has given us a recipe on carrying burdens. He really has. It's tucked away here in Matthew chapter 11 in a way that most people, and by the way, most preachers have mistaught. And I want to help you today. Most people don't understand the truth of Matthew chapter 11. Let me show you what I mean. Brother Smith, I'm going to let you carry this. Careful, it is heavy. There's about 50 pounds of weight in there. I want you to throw that over your shoulder. I want you to go down, I was going to say sit by Brother Barnes. Why don't you sit on this front row down here? I want to show you what the average person does. And by the way, leave it on your shoulder as you sit. You're not going to die too soon. You're a Marine. You're tough enough, right? All right. Here's what happens. You come to church, and the preacher preaches, and you have a burden. You come up, and you come to the altar, and you put your burden down on that altar, and you leave it there, and you go back to your seat. And you say, okay, God, it's all yours. That's not what God said. That's not what God said. God does not say, come unto me, all ye that are that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Drop your burden off and let me take care of it, and you go do whatever you want. That is not what he said. Come on back up, Brother Smith, and get your burden and sit down. He knocked my flowers off. Good night. Can't take you anywhere, can I? Now, this is just acting, but I get to be God for once. You're dead. No. God says you are burdened, you have a heavy load, and you are to come to him. Don't drop it this time, but kneel. God says, you come unto me, bring your load to me. Watch this. The Bible says this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Then ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God says, you come to the altar. You come and give him your burden. And God says, I'm not going to take it from you, but I'm going to help you carry that thing. And we're going to go through life together carrying that burden. And I'll help you carry that load. Did he ever get rid of the load? But he had somebody helping him with the load. Thank you. Put that down. We'll use it again here in a little while. Now, listen to me very carefully. I want to give you six ingredients to the recipe of how to carry a burden. Number one, God wants you to go to him with your burden. Your God longs for you to go to him with your burden. You know, God says, come unto me. He didn't say, go tell everybody in the church your problem. He said, come unto me. He didn't say, go tell all your friends so that you can try to get what you want. He said, come unto me. This may sound funny to you. There's one thing I miss in pastoring. And this might sound a little strange to you. But I kind of miss having a pastor. I really do. But I've learned something. God's my pastor. So I don't really miss it, but every once in a while, you usually had somebody with skin on. Is that the right way to say it? I realized when God asked me to pastor this church, I was giving up having a pastor for the rest of my life. I don't know if you understand what that means, but I did. Now, God says, come unto me. Do you know, I love it when my children say, Dad, I need your help. I got one that just got married, and boy, does he need help. Actually, my new daughter needs help. But I enjoy when my grown children say, Dad, I need help. My son Jeff called this week, and he needed something. And I'll be honest with you, you parents, especially those of you that have older children, you know what I mean here. It's still nice to be needed by your kids every once in a while. Now, not when they come with their hand out saying, but it's nice to be needed. It really is. Can I tell you something? God is your father and he likes to be needed. Do you know that God wants to be needed? Before Josh got married, I was talking to him and I said, son, I said, I'm really praying for you and Ruthann and your finances. He said, good, Dad. He said, would you pray then that maybe somehow the Lord would let us get this amount for our wedding? He said, everything's paid for. He said, but it sure would give me just a little bit of a buffer if we had just this much. I'll be honest with you. It was sizable, but in comparison, I didn't think it was that big. And I said, God, this is what they want. Can I ask, as a daddy, what I want for them? Whew. I hate to tell you this, but God more than tripled what he asked for. He doubled what I asked for. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? He came back. He said, Dad, you're not going to believe. I said, yeah, I will. He told me he was just as excited as could be I mean, just wound up tighter than a banjo string. He was like a June bug on the last day of May. I mean, he was just going everywhere. They got back to Lexington this week and got into an apartment. They got an apartment, but they had nothing. I mean, they didn't have a chair. They didn't have a lamp. They didn't have a bed. They had nothing. They said, oh, we're going to go early on Thursday so we can buy all these things and get them to the house. I'm thinking, you ain't going to get it delivered same day, especially if you're not going till Thursday morning. So they spent Thursday night on the floor, like everybody does. They got their new furniture, and they got moved in, and they're just as, you know what? I enjoy that for them. I'm happy for them. Now, wait a minute. God says, I'm your Father. And he said, I want you to come to me when you have a need. I want you to be able to come to me and bring your burden. But I want you to notice something. God will not force his help on anybody. My wife and I have entered a new world of life. I now have a daughter-in-law. Now, I say that not in a humorous way, but in our family, you're not an in-law, you're just part of the family. But my wife and I have to purpose not to meddle, not to force our help on anybody. You know, I don't force my help on both of my grown children. My daughter will even tell you, I don't even force my help on her. Say, would you let her struggle? Uh-huh. I might say, you want some help? Nope. Okay. There's times she struggled and I could have kept her from the struggle, but she didn't ask for help. I even volunteered it. She didn't want it. Then she came and said, could you help me? Mm-hmm. Sure. I didn't even tell her. If you'd asked me before, I could have saved you a whole lot of trouble. After we got through it, I said, you know, if you'd have asked Mom or Dad before you got to this point, we might have got you through it a little faster, a little easier. Say why? Isn't that the way God says he is? Be careful, Mama and Daddy, that you don't force yourself on your kids, especially if they're grown. Everybody doing all right? Man, do I feel like I'm on an island all by myself. So number one, God wants us to go to him with our burdens. Number two, this is the part where you're not going to like the sermon. God does not want us to leave our burden with him. God does not say, come leave your burden and drop it at my feet and I'll just take care of everything and you go about your merry old way. Please pardon my use of terminology here, but I think it quite appropriate. God is not the welfare God. God doesn't say, you bring me your problem, drop it at my feet, and I'll give you whatever you want, and you don't have to do anything in response. God is not the junkyard or the landfill or the dump where you take all of the things that you don't want, leave it there, and drive away and let him deal with the stink. Did you catch that? God said, go ahead and pick that up, Brother Smith, and walk out to the edge here. God said, that's your burden. Whether you like it, whether I like it, that is your burden. And you are to carry it. If you come to me, I can help you shoulder the load a little bit, but it's still yours to carry. And if you struggle a little bit, I'll even maybe push a little harder, lift a little more, so that it doesn't break your shoulder. I didn't do it all the way, just so you know. And he is very glad. I didn't want to catch him and the load, amen? You can put that down. It is your burden to carry. Listen to this statement. Your burden is yours to carry. It's not God's to carry. The burden you have, the problem you have, is yours. It is not God's. He wants to help you, but he does not want to do all of the work. Do you know I want to help my children, but I want them to live their own life? Do you know I want Josh and Ruth Ann to have a strong marriage and I want them to have a happy life, but that's theirs to do, not mine to make sure it happens? I don't mean this the wrong way. We spent 18 years with him at home and the last 4.5 trying to help guide him in the right direction. But what he messes up from here on is his problem. I'm there to help. I'm there to lend advice. I'm there to give a little bit of point every once in a while. But I cannot live his life for him. By the way, that's what my parents did. I've been married 25 years. I've been out of the house for almost 30 years of my life. If I do something wrong, why is it my parents' fault? Parents, listen to me. We've listened to a society that says if a child does wrong, it's the parents' fault, and I disagree with that. God holds every man accountable for himself. Did you catch that? Now, I think it's right that a parent demand that their children do right under their leadership, but when a child becomes an adult, when a child is able to go out on their own, and they go out on their own, married, singled, whatever it is, that is their decision, and it's our duty, and it's our responsibility to help them. But it's not our duty to live their life for them. Nor is it our duty to take the responsibility of the stupid things they do. It's not. Quit beating yourself up because you have an adult child that did something wrong. Guess what? Every parent in this room has an adult child that did something wrong because nobody's sinless. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. God wants you to carry your burden. He has volunteered his help, but it is not God's job to carry your load. God is not the United States government that says, come unto me and I'll take it all away. Number three, God is not always going to take your burden away, but he does promise to help carry your load. It's very interesting. The Bible says, take my yoke upon you. Now, without the burden, come on up here. A yoke is something that you would join either two horses or, in our case, two mules, two animals of likeness together. It's like a harness that would go around the neck of this animal to the neck of that animal. And it allows them to work side by side and pull together. You all have seen what I'm talking about, a yoke of oxen or something like that. It is that cross beam that would allow these two animals to work in tandem and pull a load together. I want you to notice something. God says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Now watch this. He said, how do you do that? Take my yoke upon you. He said, if you'll jump in a yoke with me, we will pull this load together. He didn't say, drop it and leave it at my feet and I'm going to wash it away. He said, I'm going to pull the load with you. Thank you, Brother Smith. Now listen to me very carefully. He does not say, he's going to be like the little, I can't use that word. I was thinking fairy, but that doesn't work in our society today. But the little thing that, you know, the little Tinkerbell that comes around and spoof, and everything's all gone and everything's all right. God's not going to sprinkle spoofoo dust on it and your burden goes away. God says you are to put his yoke on and he will help you. By the way, I want you to know something. Look at your Bible. This isn't for the person who's not doing anything. It's for the laborer. He says, come unto me, verse 28. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. God said, those of my children who are working, those of my children who are trying, and they have a burden, you come unto me and I'm going to help you. Say, what's he going to do to the one that's not doing anything? Make you labor till you're willing to carry your burden? everybody look at me for just a second here. God's not for welfare. God said if you don't work, you don't eat. God's not for you sitting around doing nothing. I know that's not popular in today's society. I don't give a flip. God said, my children who are working and they're doing their very best and they're doing all they can do and they need help, I'll help them. When I left in 1980, none of your business, to go to Bible college, my wife and I were watching the news late last night for just a moment, and they were interviewing a football player for the Redskins. And he said, he was born in 1988. My wife said, no way. Man, did I feel old. Shut up, Brother Ron. You're older than me. Doesn't matter how many years it is, it's still older. Now, wait a minute. When I left for college in 1985, I went, I got a job, and I started working. You say, did you make enough to pay your entire college bill? Sometimes, sometimes not. But just so you know, I don't remember a time where I called my dad and said, Dad, I need money. There was times I needed money. There were times they'd say, how's it going? Okay. Do you need money? Yeah, making it. They learned how to read between the lines, amen? Can I tell you something? Had I gone to college and not done anything, Mom and Dad would not have supplemented. And they did. And I thank God they did. And I thank God they could. But I went, not going to go to college, saying, I'm going to live off my mom and dad. I'm supposed to be a man. I've incurred the debt. I got to pay the debt myself. Now, could I always do it myself? No. But my dad, my mom realized I was doing all I could, and then they pitched in a little because I was doing something. I'll promise you, those of you that know my dad, if I'd have gone there and say, okay, pay my way, I'd have been walking. I'd still be at college. Say why? Because he ain't going to pay no lazy bum's way. If my dad's that way, how much more do you think God is? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. By the way, that's why America is in trouble with our welfare system, because we're not making people work. Welfare is neither well nor fair, just so you know. We are conditioning people to be lazy and dependent upon the government. Bringing in 90,000 illegal aliens from outside our country, granting them amnesty, I don't care how old or how young, is not how you help people. By the way, I'm not afraid to make this statement. You get more tired not working than you do working. You men that work hard, did you ever take 2-week vacation? And at the end of vacation, you're so daggum tired, you're ready to go back to work just to get off vacation. Now, I think in all of our years we've been married, I've taken 2 weeks off in one stretch once. Say why? My family can't stand me for 2 weeks without work. I'm not kidding. Matter of fact, 1 year we were on vacation, we were at my in-laws up in Minnesota. And my sister-in-law and brother-in-law, they needed they were putting a new septic system. Say, what'd you do? They didn't rent a backhoe. Me and the boys went out and started digging with shovels. Say, why? I couldn't take it anymore. I had to do something. I'm out there digging holes and digging septic and got it all figured out for them, got it laid out. We dug a rock out about the size of this pulpit with a shovel. It was great. I had my nephews out there. They couldn't wait for Uncle Craig to go home because they thought I was a slave driver, man. It was great. I was on vacation. What was you doing? I had to work. I had to do something. I couldn't take it. Now, wait a minute. You get more tired not working than you do working. I don't know about you. I don't jump out of bed every morning going, wow, I get to go to work. It's 4:30 in the morning. Okay, I resurrect like you do, but once I get going, I get motivated. There's just something about going to work that motivates me, gets me energized. All right? By the way, listen to this statement. The burden has to be carried. You choose whether you carry it yourself or whether you get God to help you carry it. But either way, the burden has to be carried. You know, Brother Smith can pick up that load and carry it. But if he comes and asks for my help,
can I have some help with it?
Sure. I'd be glad to help you. Guess what? He can carry it himself, or he can come ask for help. But either way, it's got to get carried. Thank you, Brother Smith. You know, by the way, you say, well, I took it to the altar and I left it for God to carry. Yeah, and it's getting bigger by the day. And you're getting weaker from not carrying it. And you're getting weaker. The burden's getting bigger. And you're getting more burdens. And it gets more and more and more and more and more complicated. Say why? Because you're not carrying the burden. being a parent. You know, when you have little children, you think it's a burden now. Wait till they become adults and they have adult problems. Well, it's just such a burden. Yeah, you got to bear your burden. And let me tell you, if you'll bear the burden now when they get older, you're teaching them how to bear the burden. We have grown a society of people that will not allow a child to struggle, and mommy and daddy have to carry all the burdens. Can I tell you something? This mommy and this daddy did not carry all the burdens at the Bush House. From the time my kids could toddle around, they helped pick up their own toys. They helped. Now, they didn't lend a lot of help, but we taught them to help. Do you know that my children were responsible for getting all of their own dirty laundry to the laundry? From the time they were about 3 or 4 years old, they helped my wife do laundry. Now, that doesn't mean that they threw the clothes in the wash machine and threw the soap in and pulled them out, but you know what? I can tell you many, hundreds and hundreds of times, my wife would walk into the laundry room with one of the kids. She'd pull the laundry out of the washer, open up the dryer because it was at their level, hand them wet clothes, and they'd throw it into the dryer. Now, just so you know, my wife could have done it more efficiently and faster herself, but guess what? It was her responsibility to teach children what their responsibility was. Guess what? When my boys left for college, they knew how to do their laundry, and they didn't come home and ask mommy to do their laundry once a week. When I left for Bible college, my mom didn't quit doing my clothes. When I came home, I was only home one summer. She was shocked at how well my clothes looked after 1 year of college. I don't know why. She taught me how to do it. It works fine. Can I tell you something? You parents need to start teaching your children how to work, and I'll show you why here in just a moment. Point number four. Rest comes by working the load, not by playing instead of carrying the load. We live in a society that says rest is play, and that is not true. Everybody listen to me very carefully. Boys and girls, listen to me. You don't earn the right to play until the work is done. You will enjoy your play more when you get your work done. You don't come home from school and play before the homework's done. Man, I hated that rule. I did. But can I tell you something? Play meant a whole lot more because I didn't have to worry about going back in and doing homework and not wanting to do it. Some of you young people, school's about to start. Listen to me very carefully here. Listen real carefully here. Some of you lazy children that won't do your schoolwork, it's time for you to get off your blessed assurance and start working. Your work is your schoolwork. That's why it's called school work. And some of you are sloughing off and you're lazy. Well, it just doesn't come easy. You know, it doesn't come easy to anybody. You got to work. Well, I just don't have a good brain. No, you have a lazy brain. Well, I don't have a high IQ. I've met a lot of people with a high IQ that didn't work too. It's a matter of you deciding you'll work, and once you start working, you'll find the joy and the rest that comes with it. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. I enjoy hunting deer. Can I tell you something? The moment you pull the trigger, the fun's over and the work starts. The moment you release that arrow, the work starts. Now, the fun part is, you know, waiting for them, seeing them, waiting to get that right shot, pull the trigger, pull the string, and it's over. Then the work starts. I was talking to Brother Ron the other day. It's about 5 hours work for every deer I shoot. By the time you field dress it, get it home, skin it, quarter it, butcher it, get it in the freezer, you can count on about 4 to 5 hours work per deer you shoot. But can I tell you something? The rest comes after the work is over. After I've done that, guess what? For the next several months, as my wife pulls meat out of the freezer, we enjoy the rest that came because of the labor that went into it. So many people don't want to do the work. They want to pull the trigger and let somebody else do the work. One of the funniest things I heard in the last couple of weeks, he had one of these animal rights people. We're against hunting. We think everybody ought to go to the grocery store and buy their meat and get things that weren't killed. They're so stupid. I thought it was funny. I'm sorry. They literally were saying that. Now, wait a minute. Those of you that work a garden or grow things in the garden, man, you got to go out there and till the ground. You got to go out there and rake it. You got to try to keep the weeds out. Amen, Brother Mark. You got to plant the seeds and the plants, and you got to go out there and take care of it, make sure it gets watered right. Then you got to go out and pick everything. You know, God doesn't grow everything high enough for you just to go out there and reach it at standing level. Did you ever pick green beans? Lord, I hate picking green beans. Them things can hide everywhere. And you got to bend over, get down on your hands and knees. It's work. You know, what good does it do you to plant a garden and never do anything with it? You don't get to enjoy the harvest without the work. By the way, your rest comes by finishing the burden, and it gives you strength. And it gives you the ability to enjoy the victory that comes later. Dumping the load on God and playing is not getting rest. And everybody listen to this statement. Welfare is not rest. That's why where your areas of welfare are high, you have a high percentage of drug addiction, alcoholism, violence, and children out of wedlock. Do you think their burden is easier because of welfare? I'm gonna ask you a question. Don't answer it out loud. If welfare works, why do we have more people on welfare now than ever? Mr. FDR, if welfare works, why is it that in every big city in America, we have a bigger problem now than we did in the 1930s when you designed it? Hey, Detroit, why are you bankrupt? Welfare. Everybody doing all right? Let's see the product of welfare. Okay, Detroit, Atlanta, New York City, L.A., D.C., Does it work? I'm probably going to get in trouble for this, but what's one more thing? I am not against those of you that have lost your job and you get unemployment. I am against you going for 2 years without looking for a job because you can make more on unemployment. I think you get on unemployment long enough to find you a job and go out there and work two or three jobs and get off of it. Okay, that's not real popular. By the way, you come and dump your load at the altar, God's not your slave. He's going to let it sit there. You have no right to demand God take your burden away. None. You didn't hire God. God's not your slave. God's not there to do everything you tell him to do. Number five. I love this. Everybody smile for a second. I've been hard. It gets better. Burdens are not sin. They're weights. Come on up here, Brother Smith, with your bag of weights. Do you know that there's nothing in that bag that's sinful?
I hope not.
Trust me, there's not. Now, wait a minute. Having a burden does not mean it's sinful. You know, God does not say he's going to help you carry your sin. Listen to this statement. You say, well, my burden is alcoholism. No, that's not a burden. That's sin. Well, my burden is I can't get off my cigarettes. No, that's sin. That's not a burden. Well, I just can't control myself physically. No, that's sin. It's not a burden. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. The word burden means heaviness. It means something that slows you down. If I asked Brother Smith, I'm not going to run around this room and timed him, and then have him pick up the 40, 50 pounds in that bag and run around the room, guarantee it's going to be slower the second time. Say why? Because that burden is heavy. A burden is something that is heavy, that slows you down. It weighs you down. Let me show you what I mean. When you get the news that it's cancer, that's a burden. You know that cancer is not sin. It's a weight. God said, I can help you carry it. Amen. That lady that my wife and I sat with in her living room this week, and she told me and showed me the CAT scan, and she's got a 2-inch by 1.75 inch by 1.75 inch tumor in her head, inside her brain, pushing down. That is a weight. God said, you come unto me, and I'll help you carry that. I'll help you shoulder that. The news that you've lost a loved one, that's not sin, that's a burden for the one that is left. For the one that went to heaven, it's joy and peace, amen. But for the ones left behind, it's a burden. Just because somebody died, God is not judging you. By the way, listen to this very carefully, Christian. When you lose a loved one, God's not judging you. Death is a result of our life of sin. It's going to happen to everybody, just so you know. God's not judging you because your mama died, or your daddy died, or your brother died, or your sister died, or grandma died, or whoever died. God's not judging you. If they're saved, God doesn't even see their sin. Well, I have health problems, preacher, and okay, health problems are a burden. They're not sin. Some of you have, yeah, Brother Buck, your heart attack. That wasn't sin. Now, disobeying your wife afterwards was, but now wait a minute. That's not sin. It was a burden. Some of you have a financial burden. Some of you, it's because of your own fault. Some of you, it's just the way things go. And by the way, everybody at some point in time in their life has financial troubles, just so you know. Guess what? It's not sin. It's just a burden. And God said he can help you. Some of you have emotional problems. There are times in life where all of us face some emotional stress. And we need a little help with it. But may I say this, listen to me. It's not sinful to get help for this emotional stress that you have. Well, I'm having trouble with a relationship, whether it be a child or a friend or a spouse. Okay, that's not sin. That is a burden that God will help you carry. Amen. Maybe you just have problems being where you're supposed to be and have troubles getting everything done. It's called scheduling. It's not sinful to have problems with that. That is a burden that God said he would help you shoulder. Thank you, Brother Smith. You can put that down for a moment. Folks, burdens are weights. They're not sins. I'm going to make a statement here that might shock you. Did you know that temptation is not sin? Jesus was led by the Spirit of the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Yielding to temptation is sin. The temptation is not the sin. Here's the problem. Some of you live at the level of temptation in every area of your life that you're weak at. Your burden is you like the thrill of being tempted, hoping you won't cross over into sin. Number six. I think I'm going to finish on this point. I might have one more, but I'll make them quick. We get rest by learning God and learning how to help God help us, listen to this, so that we have the strength to carry this load and so that it makes us stronger to carry the next load. You get rest by learning how to let God help you carry the load so that you can carry the load and so that you're strong enough to carry the next load. My friend Brother Arcola and I were together this week for a couple hours. And he said, Brother Bush, why is it every time you and I are together we're working? I said, that's why we're close. I said, if we were all the time getting together just to play, we wouldn't be this close. We learn more about people as we work with them, not as we play with them. Parents, listen to me. You will learn your children, and your children will learn you more if you'll teach them how to work than you will by teaching them how to play. You get closer to people working than you do playing. My privilege to work with Brother Hiles and Brother Owens for many, many, many years. Can I tell you something? I didn't play one time with Jack Hiles. I'll be honest with you. I don't ever remember playing with Brother Owens. But you won't find two closer people in the world. Can I tell you why? We learned how to work together. We shouldered the same load together. Husbands, you and your wife need to learn how to work together, not just play together. You need to learn how to negotiate and get things done. Say, I do. Whatever she says, I do it, and we're okay. That's called negotiation. My son's learning that right now. Parents, listen to me. You'll have your children closer to you if you teach them how to work. Did you catch that? Your children will be closer to you if you teach them how to work. By the way, nobody likes every job they have to do. Matter of fact, if you like every job you're doing, you're not working. Can I tell you why the employees of America are separating themselves from the employers of America? Because the employees won't work with the boss. When you start working together, guess what? You get closer. Can I tell you why friends drift apart from one another? They quit working together and all they do is play. By the way, that's why I think it's dangerous for young couples to only have one or two sets of friends. And only one age group of friends. You know how I have friends in every age group of people there are? Say why? Because I enjoy working with them. And it helps keep me balanced. Boy, that's a good statement. Say, why do we always have so much going on at the church? Because if a pastor and a people will work together, they'll stay close. And by the way, I put my hours in. I'm not afraid of the work. Show up sometime. Jump on in. The work's fine. Our play society looks at work as bad, and now we have no closeness in our homes. By the way, the less work we have, the farther away from God we get. We now have little leagues that won't keep score in ball games because we might hurt the little boy or little girl's feelings. They might cry. No. We don't want to keep score because the child might feel that they lost. If they did lose the ball game, guess what? They lost. I am so sick and tired of this mamby-pamby society that a child should never hurt. I hate that mentality. Now, I'm not for abuse. But part of life is hurt. Well, we don't want them to feel the pressure of failing. Why not? That's why we don't have anybody that wants to succeed. Without the pressure of failure, there is no success. We live in a society that if we don't take from the rich to give to the poor, and if we won't make everybody the same, that's communism, just so you know. That's communism. And lastly, I'm done. God is most pleased when we carry burdens of others as we carry our own. God is well pleased in us, not just when we're carrying our burden and He's helping us, but when we stop along the way to help somebody else carry a burden. Let me show you what I mean. Brother Smith has his burden. He jumps in the saddle. God says, I'll help you. Then we go down here to Brother Barnes. Which way are you going? Pretty bad one. God's got to follow the guy with the burden, amen? We come down here and Brother Barnes has a burden. Pick up a songbook, Brother Barnes. Come on. Come on. This thing's heavy. Brother Smith stops and says, can I help you? And we go and carry the load together. And we help each other. And then Brother Barnes says, Brother York. Well, Mrs. York. Do you see how God would be happy? And we start helping each other carry the burdens. And then we walk across here to go help somebody else. And we're going to stop right there because I got to finish the sermon. Thank you, man. Have a seat. Can I tell you something? While God's helping him carry his burden, watch this. And he sees somebody else that has a burden and he says, God, I know my burden's heavy, but this one's got a need. Guess what? God says, I'll push a little more. I'll take a little pressure off so you can help him. And they go along and see that one. And he says, that one's hurting too, God. I'll carry a little more. Can I tell you something? Some of you are so concerned about your own burden, you don't help anybody else. You are so selfish. God said, if you just jump in, I'll help you carry it. And then look for somebody else. I'll pull your load a little bit more. And each and every one you stop to help, I'll lift yours a little bit more. But you have to add to your burden to get your burden lifted. God is happiest when his children learn to lift the burdens of others. I texted my boys this morning. Told them I loved them and I was praying for them. Josh said, Dad, pray for us. I got to preach twice today. We had a good day out soul winning yesterday. The route's going to be up. Just pray for me. I want God to meet with us. Whew. Jeff texted me back and he said, Dad, pray for me and Paul. All the workers are gone. It's just him and I today. I get to drive the van and we had to do the whole route ourselves. He said, pray for us that we have a good day. I don't know about you. Brother Gus, that does me good. Do they have problems? Uh-huh. They got me for their daddy. But can I tell you something? I'll promise you, as they're carrying their load, they're trying to lift the load of somebody else, and God says, let me help you. I got a blessing awaiting you today like you have never seen. By the way, you are most like Christ when you start helping others while you have a burden. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You are most like Christ when, as you carry a burden, don't you think Jesus had a burden? He had our sin debt on his shoulders. He who knew no sin became sin for you. The only person in universe history to have God turn his back on them was Jesus Christ. Don't you think he had a bigger burden than you? But he stopped to help you carry yours. By the way, that's why soul winning is so important, because you leave your burden aside to go help somebody else and help them with their burden. Life has many hard, dark, heavy days ahead for everybody. Everybody. You're not alone. You say, what do I need to do? You need to bear your burden. Don't run from it. Pick it up. Run to God. Don't drop it at the altar and expect him to be your slave and pick it up and carry it the rest of life. Just ask him to come help you carry it. And as you pick it up together, as you're walking through life, look for somebody else and say, hey, I got God helping me. Why don't you come on over here, Brother Barnes? God might help you too. And as we go through it, Brother Barnes and Brother Smith see Brother York and say, hey, jump on in. God's helping us. Why don't you jump on in? We'll help you. God lifts a little more and a little more. And before too long, the load you thought you had, you're not even carrying, and you found the strength to make it through by helping somebody else. Some of you are so focused on the load you're carrying, you're forgetting everybody else, including God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you tired of shouldering the load yourself? Have you been frustrated with everybody because not everybody's helping me? It's not everybody else's job. You're supposed to take it to God and carry it with God. And then while you got a heavy load, why don't you try to pick up the load for somebody else? And then watch what God can do for you. Watch what God can do for you. Say, preacher, I needed that today. Something in that sermon is what I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Come on. Come on. God bless you. Scores of hands went up today. Let me ask you a question. Why don't you come to this altar, bring your burden to God, and ask him to help you carry it, and don't leave it at this altar. Why don't you ask him to help you carry it and pick it up at this altar with him, whatever the load may be.